thank God for being here, and we thank God for how he has preserved us and kept us and bought us. Amen. I can't remember exactly what month it was, but it was 50 years ago when we opened up the doors on the west side of Chicago that there might be a congregation of the Church of God on the west side. And amen, 50 years ago, I attended that first service. And I say to myself, how time has flown. Amen. And I found that God has been faithful over that whole time. And I didn't start my work on the west side of Chicago, my walk on the west side of Chicago. I started it on the south side and moved to the west side. And it wasn't for doctrinal differences or nothing like that. It was because it was 10 minutes away from home. Amen. I did have confidence in the people who started that work. And we ended up going there thinking we was opening up a mission and ended up starting a congregation. So God worked in mysterious ways. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving on our hearts. Father, we thank you for the camp meeting, and we thank you for those who have gone before us, Lord God, and have proclaimed your word. And Lord God, already we have had enough to feast on for weeks. And we're praying, Lord God, that you will yet be with us. We know Satan wants a part in this service, but we pray a rebuke against him. Lord, we're praying that your word might have free reign. And Lord God, we're praying that hearts would be touched. Lord, we're looking to you to bless, to lead, to guide, and to direct. May the spirit of humility prevail, and may your spirit have right of way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to try to slow ourselves down. There are some topics that I get very excited about. And I find myself getting ahead of myself. So you're going to have to keep your Bibles open this morning. Amen. So I can slow down. In the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, and we want to read verses 8 through 10. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 10. And the Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Thinking this morning about a question, where is your brother? A question that requires an honest answer. In our text, Abel didn't give an honest answer. He kind of used a play on word, the Bible tells us that Abel was a keeper of sheep. And basically, amen, I guess in our modern world today, amen, if somebody would say to us, where is so-and-so, and you put your hand in your pockets and say, he's not there, that was Abel's approach by saying, am I my brother's keeper, who happens to be a keeper of sheep? His answer was not honest. But we thank God this morning for a faithful God, that when we can't be honest with ourselves, he can be honest with us. Amen. The question I asked you, Mr. Cain, was what we might call a rhetorical question. God knowing the heart, knowing that you're not going to answer correctly anyway, but I'm going to ask. But I'm not really expecting an answer, because I already know that his blood has been crying out. And amen, God, who knows the end from the beginning, he knows each and every one of us. And this very important question, where is your brother, is something that the church of God should be an example of brotherhood everywhere it exists. But unfortunately, too many times, like in so many other areas, the world defines how we think about God's word. And amen, and I believe the idea of brotherhood, that from a worldly perspective, has infiltrated our ranks. And it's time for us to start honestly searching out the question, where is my brother? And amen, I'm not talking about somebody who just goes to church every Sunday. I'm not talking about somebody who says that, amen, I belong to the church of God. I'm not just talking about somebody who might sing in a church choir or do some other type of work in the church building. I'm talking about somebody who have turned away from their sin with all their hearts, and now are under the control of the word and the spirit, because without that, there is no such thing as a church of God. And amen, as we get down in our message today, we find out that the word of God and the spirit of God, they're not fighting each other. Well, we had time this morning. We'll preach to you how, amen, God had a vision that he was going to bring all things together in Christ. Christ, amen, is one that brings us together and not separate us. Too many times we take a worldly approach and look for reasons why we can't get along. Whether we're talking about the local congregation or we're talking about the church as a whole, we're looking for something to make us stand out from everybody else. And then when we find it, we run with it. God's not pleased. Where is your brother? Where is your brother that have turned away from a life of sin and have began to follow Jesus? submitting himself to the word of God and the spirit of God. Where is he? Amen. Sometimes it's almost like family members that won't talk to one another. Amen. I remember, amen, last Thanksgiving at the dinner table, you said this, that, and the other, and my feelings got hurt. Now I will not be coming to Thanksgiving dinner this year. And somebody else will say, well, if he had said that to me, I wouldn't be coming either. But where's your brother? Why this thing is really have moved me so much. We're living in a day and an age, even in America, we can see this plague running through us, that the idea of brotherhood, amen, is just being wiped away. Politicians are turning Americans against Americans. That spirit wants to creep into the church of God. Come on. You're not just a Democrat. You're radical left socialist communist. You're not just a Republican. Somebody that I have a difference of opinion in. Amen. You are a conservative radical fascist. These are not words that are conducive for having people to understand that they are in one country with one goal. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for being in America. Sometimes I wonder, amen, what did I do to deserve something like that? And amen, I can only come up with nothing because I was born here. The wealthiest nation in the world. And if you remove China out the way, you got to find about 10 other nations as rich as this nation. Hey man, they tell me that California, if it was a country all by itself, would be about the 6th or the 8th, I can't quite remember now, the 6th or the 8th richest country in the world. Amen. That's just one state. There's 49 left. We won't talk about the territories. But yet, amen, our politicians have found a way to get us to look away from our blessings. How God have brought us together as a country. What we have gone through as a country. Have us looking at everything, but how God has blessed us. And I bring all that up because I'm seeing that the church of God as a whole has surrendered its moral authority. Brother, church of God, preacher supposed to on the subject line of abortion. Smoking, gambling, amen, marriage. Brother, we're supposed to own that. But we have given it to politicians, and now when you start crying out against open marriage, amen, folks say, well, I know what party he's in. But I'm not in nobody's party. I'm in the church of God. Amen. And I'm against sin. And I don't care where it comes from. And I don't care what your party is. And I don't care what your political affiliation is. Amen. Sin is sin. And I'm against it. And I'm against it all day long. Because when sin is turned loose, it affects how we see one another. Cain and Abel, they they should have been working together. I heard some theologians, and amen, I'm not a theologian and I don't try to be. But they say, well, if Cain had just went to Abel and got one of his animals and sacrificed it, everything would have been all right. I don't believe that was the problem. I believe if Abel had given 5, 6, 7 animals, I don't care how many, God was going to like Cain's sacrifice because he didn't like Cain. And somebody said, well, God loves everybody. That doesn't mean you love what everybody does. I love my children, but I don't always love what they do. They're still my child. I still love them. But I'm going to tell them what I see. And you know what? They might get mad and everything else, but at the end of the day, come back and love your dad. It don't hurt to tell people what's right. Huh? Amen. If you love something, turn it loose. If it come back, you got it. If it doesn't come back, you never had it. Amen. But the Church of God has surrendered its moral authority by depending on politicians to come up with laws to condemn things. And all you have to do is look at history and see that hadn't worked very well for us. No doubt there's teenagers in this room this evening that knows that they can't buy cigarettes, but all their buddies still smoking. Or the people they be around at school or what have you. I'm not saying the saints are smoking. Don't get me wrong. Huh? We got a law for that. But amen, it doesn't change nobody's heart. And I could go on down the list. Amen. Laws against adultery. That doesn't stop folk from committing adultery. Laws against fornicating. That's not stopping fornication. Because the laws ain't changing nobody's heart. Brother, all you have to do is start reading through the book of Genesis, amen, and the books of history, and you find out God gave the people a law. It took them about 40 days to break the laws that God gave them in Mount Sinai. If they're not going to obey God's law, any man-made law is hopeless. Now somebody say amen. The politicians supposed to reflect our values. Look, I don't want no cigars chomping, hoe-chasing, whoremonger, lying-stealing, cheating politician tell me what my values are. Get saved and then let's have a conversation. I'm just old-fashioned Church of God. I don't know no better. Just pray for me. Where's your brother? Where's your brother? In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, Scripture doesn't give us as saints of God, much room to leave our brothers behind. In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 21, the Bible says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever should kill should be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Amen. God is concerned about how the disciples feel towards one another. Brother, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Cain and Abel. Amen. Those two brothers should have been working together that they both could be able to offer a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, that they might work together, amen, and keep the name of God alive throughout the land. But one brother got jealous of another brother, or one brother's heart was full of evil. You tell me what was going down there. But he felt like the world wasn't big enough for him and his brother, so he killed them. Jesus said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against him, I'm sorry, against thee, which is the same thing as saying against you. You get ready to make your sacrifices to God. There's something about God. He is so faithful. Just like he called Cain out, he'll call you and I out. You want to go and you want to start worshiping God, and you want to, amen, praise his name, and you want to thank him for how good he be, and you want to bring your sacrifices of praise and love and dedication to God. The first thing he'll do is bring to your mind your brother. So what do I do when God shows, amen, that my brother has something against me? See, a lot of times you say, I don't have nothing against nobody. Do you know somebody that have something against you? Have you been to them? Huh? Come on, we in a fight. Everywhere we turn as saints of God, we're under attack. And we don't have any friends in the world. You believe whatever you want to believe, but we do not have any friends in the world. Politicians will court us to get our vote, but cross them. Amen. And see where you be. See what kind of friend there'll be to you. All the saints have is each other. And the devil trying to keep us apart. Husband and wife can't even pray together. And maybe here, that condition never exists. So I say, back home. Now I'm on safe ground. I know some husband and wives can't even pray together. That doesn't make it right. So when a husband and wife can't pray together, amen. And they weren't trying their best to pray separate. I'm here to let you know this morning that prayers are not going anywhere. Come on. I got authority to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, about the 7th verse, that lets me know, amen, that I got to be one with my wife. I don't have time to fuss with her, argue with her, amen, get out of order with her, amen. The minute the devil take advantage of me, my pager will go off, my phone will go off. Brother Reigns, we need you to pray. Now what do I have to do? Oh, well, hold on 1 minute. Let me get things straight with Jackie. I ain't got time for that foolishness. And you shouldn't either. You come to the altar with your gift and you remember somebody has something against you. Leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. The Bible teaches me in no uncertain terms that as much as it lies within you to live peaceably with all men. Now, some folks, it's hard to get along with. Come on. I learned a very important lesson around talking about I love everybody. Boy, that was my testimony because that's what the scripture told me I should do. So I felt like I loved everybody till one day God sent somebody for me to love. Then I found out it was more than a notion. So somebody said, Brother Reigns, do you love everybody? I said, I think I do. You know something? follow the scripture, it will go a long ways to help God's people to live together in brotherhood. Help husbands and wives to get along. It helps people in the congregation to get name changes. You know, we the Tater family. Amen. I got my name changed the first night. Brothers asked me to come up into the pulpit with the other ministers, and I didn't come. So he said, "Brother Hesitator." Next morning, I was up in the ministers. Got a new name. Maybe I'm Institator now. Amen. The book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 15, the Bible. It teaches this. And I'm just jumping in these scriptures, and there's a whole lot more to be said. But I understand that if I keep you all here all morning, you'll miss lunch or something like that. Thanks for the permission. Moreover, if thy brother should transgress against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Come on, now this is where actually, amen, you got something against somebody else. It's not you know they have something against you. It's something that they did to you and you're not happy with it. You go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he should hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that is in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. Come on, the scriptures land down a foundation here for how we can live at peace with our brothers. And amen, there's something about this that is not foolproof. Something about what we're preaching here this morning is hard for some people to understand. I understand that. But do your part. Sometimes we feel like, well, they ought to know better. Why do I have to go back? They know they're wrong. But don't you get wrong with them. Do what Jesus says. Amen. Then if they neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then you let him be unto thee an heathen and a publican, and don't let it be, amen, I told him my opinion, amen, and they don't agree with my opinion or my thought or my idea. It's got to be the word of God. And if it's not the word of God, you got to give people to grow, just like God had to work with you and I. Because I love my brother. I love my sister. I want to be like Abraham. He was the old guy in that relationship. He was the leader. He was the paternal head. Amen. And he goes to his nephew and he say, don't let there be any strife between thee and I and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. Amen. We don't have time. The parasite is in the land. The Jebusite is in the land. All these folks are in the land. They're looking at us. We don't have time to let, amen, strife become between us. We'll teach unity to our children, the oneness of the church of God. And we'll preach unity and practice division. And somehow or the other, we expect them not to notice. And then we wonder why. They see the church of God as a church amongst churches. Thank you. This is not supposed to be an amen and message. If you got one, go ahead. Amen. If I feel like I need one, I bought some. follow these steps, let it be on somebody else. Don't let it be on you. I heard a very wise man said many, many years ago that, amen, if people draw a circle and they draw you out, you just get a bigger stick and draw a bigger circle and draw them in. Barnabas and Paul couldn't get along over a very simple matter. We got to go back to the churches and establish them. But amen, Paul said, I don't want to take that mark, brother. He left us last time. Barnabas said, he's all right, let's take him. And the dissension became so sharp. Barnabas took Mark and went one way, and Paul went the other way. But they didn't fall out. Somebody said, well, how you know? Later on, Paul would write, hey, and bring Mark with you. He's profitable. I don't know if he grew or Paul recognized that he was wrong. But whatever the situation, because he kept communication open, he was able to receive a blessing. Amen. Just like Abraham was able to go and rescue his nephew. You know, sometimes we'd be so glad we put somebody out. We almost praying that they'll fail so that it can prove that I'm right and they wrong. Brother, that's not the spirit of brotherhood. Our hearts should be weeping and amen and sad. Things happen between the saints that keep them from walking in brotherhood. In the book Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 21. First chapter, verse 21. It starts off really like a question in the English. It says, how is the faithful city become a harlot? That faithful city now is the New Jerusalem, the Church of God. What caused it not to be what it ought to be in the world today? What is preventing it from being a city that is set up on a hill that can't be hid, that provides light to all the lost? One time, the faithful city was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. Amen. When last time you ran down somebody up down one side and up the other? Huh? That's spiritually murdering them. I'm amazed sometimes. I go different places. They say, Bro Rains, I heard of you. I don't even want to ask him anymore, good or bad. Amen. Come on. Folks I don't even know got an opinion about me and never met me before in person. I might be a little biased, but I don't think I'm a bad person. What you guys think? I don't know. But I'm willing to consider. I believe I can be talked to. Huh? I'm willing to consider. Amen. Thy silver has become dross. Silver is usually a type of redemption in the scripture. It's not shining like it should. The world really needs to see brotherhood amongst God's people like nowhere else. It's become become dross. In other words, it's not shining as much. Thy wine is mixed with water. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is present, but not in the power that it wants to be. And that was wrong with Jesus when he came to Capernaum. Wasn't nothing wrong with him at all. Just couldn't do a lot of miracles there. Why? Because the people are unbelief. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the spirit of God. It's the way we respond to it. That princes are rebellious and companion of thieves. Notice a pattern that's coming out here. The focus is more on how the faithful city interacted with people that lived in the city. You had the people with privilege and the people without privilege. And they wasn't all getting equal treatment. Stick with me. Their companion of thieves, the leaders. Everyone loveth gifts and follow after rewards. They judge not the fatherless. These things work against brotherhood. The fatherless, when they're looking for protection, they look to the leaders, and the leaders are saying, no, not me. By the way, could you give me a dollar? And if you don't give it, amen, they'll find a way to write a law to take it. I'm not against government. I'm just against corrupt government. Neither does the cause of the widow come before thee. Once again, the issue is man and humanity to man. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. Amen. When saints can't walk together in brotherhood, they get God's attention and God has to act. And he's saying, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. Amen. And I will restore the judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, thou should be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. What is Isaiah saying here in the word? He's going to go around and he's going to find all those people who are not walking in brotherhood, and he's getting rid of them. I say, brother, you put too much in that scripture. Meditate on it. Brother Bland used to tell us, chew on it for a little while. God promises that he's going to restore righteousness. The city might have, amen, fallen. But God's not going to let it stay like that. When conditions start coming up in the church of God, God start making moves to fix things. One of the first scriptures I learned that was a blessing to me. Brother Bland, I probably told you this so many times. Come to our house when we were teenagers on Sunday after service, and the first thing he told us to do was memorize the first psalm. And it's been with me ever since, that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. You can hypocrite around the church of God, but one of these days you're not going to be there. You're going to be in church of God name only. Amen. The worst thing I believe in the world is to fool around with truth until truth have you so thoroughly confused that you don't know the difference between right and wrong anymore. You'll be like an incubated hatched chicken who will run after any hen clucking on the barnyard. Zion
should be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. God is not just looking down and seeing situations and saying, hey man, one of these days it'll work itself out, or one of these days things will come together. Hey man, either we gonna move or God gonna move. Amen. Matthew, the 12th chapter. I'll go through this passage of scripture. I'm not going to promise, but I'll let you go. It's only 10 scriptures. Amen. Matthew 12, 22. Amen. I like to laugh at myself if you hadn't noticed. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, that he is Jesus. And so much that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? These folks really were starting to believe Jesus was who he said he was. But look at what the spiritual leadership did. Amen. But when the Pharisees heard it, see, they were envious of Jesus. That's why they had him crucified. That's Bible. Huh? Not because he was wrong or did anything wrong. The Bible said they did it out of envy. And they heard it. They said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Huh? Oh man, that must have been a low blow. Later on, Jesus would tell his disciples, look here, if they call me Beelzebub, you know what they're gonna call you. That's why when people start talking about me, I don't feel bad and I don't take it personal. Jesus told me ahead of time it's coming. And when it comes, I know I'm doing something right. Amen. But I still check. Amen. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said, until every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself should not stand. When Church of God people don't understand the principle of brotherhood and seek it out amongst the saints with all their hearts, amen, you'll find yourself in a divided house. Sometimes we're breaking up just over doctrine. And a lot of the doctrine we breaking up came out of Babylon anyway. If it wasn't for theology, I think the saints would get along pretty good. Jesus didn't have theology. Paul didn't have theology. Where did it come from? Somebody say, well, look here, these folks, man, reading this Bible, they don't know how to understand it. So we're going to build schools and we're going to teach people how to read the Bible. And then we're going to go back and we're going to tell the pastors how they should think about certain words and certain ideas. When they see it in the Bible, they'll think a certain way. Hey, amen. There's words. If I just wanted to be controversial this morning, I could just say that word and I can get folks in here arguing with one another. Because we have been trained to do that. A lot of times we can't even read the Bible because of what we've been trained to do. When I see a certain thing, oh, I know what that means. Whew, this is where I use one of my amens. Amen. House divided against his house is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Amen. That's what Jesus said. That's not what Brother Rain said. Amen. Folks who don't understand the concept of brotherhood, they can't stand together. They can't stand the test together. When God built the body, he built one body. And he put the members in the body as it pleased him. Amen. And if he put the gift of divine healing in this body over here, and I won't have nothing to do with that body, that's on me, not on God. But I don't believe God would put the gift of divine healing in there. I've been around. I've seen some things that I didn't expect to see. And I'm learning more and more, amen, that I got to judge people for myself by the way they live in. Because you know the devil can do everything but live right. I'm learning to measure people's spirits. I'm learning, amen, to watch. Because I know that I didn't always understood what I understood now. And there are some things I used to stand for I've had to let go. Somebody say, well, you compromise. Call it whatever you want to call it. But amen, it hasn't affected me living victorious. It hasn't affected me being able to go before God. It hasn't affected me from being able to lift my voice up to God in prayer and have the prayers answered. Say amen. It might almost sound like a statement of pride. But amen. Sometimes I feel like, well, I got mine. You get yours best way you can. Amen. We got to really, the brother preached last night, we got to really get to know God for ourselves, to stand on our own bottoms. Amen. To have a desire to have more. Amen. God, when I got the vision that I wanted everything in this salvation God had for me, I wasn't content anymore just to be a common everyday Christian. Brother, I wanted it all. I got greedy. I ain't ashamed to say it. I want some more. And amen, the more it seemed like God gave me, the more it seemed like I wanted. Yeah, you can get it, brother, but you're going to have to suffer something before you get it. I say, oh, well, bring it on. Y'all think I'm crazy. When I was married to Charlene before she died, amen, she said, look here, brother, you pray that for yourself. She used to crack me up. I say, well, Lord, if I got to suffer to go through this, amen, bring the suffering on. She said, Lord, you let me have it too, but you can keep the suffering. She was a good woman. I don't want to make it sound like I'm despairing. That woman was saved. And I lived with her for over 41 years, I know. Amen. Jesus said in verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. This scripture, this particular verse is very informative that Jesus is letting us know in no uncertain terms that he was casting devils out by the Spirit of God. Somebody said, but he was Jesus. Well, Jesus needed the Holy Ghost too. It's all part of the Godhead. Because now, once we understand that, then the rest of what we're going to read becomes significant. Amen. Verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So, what Jesus said in no uncertain terms, that, amen, I'm not Beelzebub. By the Spirit of God, I brought Beelzebub under my power. He was a strong man, and I bound him. Then I kicked him out. I made him homeless. If you don't believe that, when you go home, read the rest of the chapter where I leave off. Yeah. When Jesus come in, he makes the devil homeless. Verse 30 say, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy should be given unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Why did Jesus say that? Call me Beelzebub all you want, but keep your mouth off the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is casting out devils, amen, keep that to yourself. If somebody is living a clean, holy life, they're not doing it by Beelzebub. They're doing it by the Spirit of God. And you better watch how you put your mouth on them. That's your brother. That's your sister. And you keep on putting your mouth on God's people, people that God have delivered from sin and blessed them and has transformed their lives. They might not have got it the way you think they ought to have gotten it. Amen. But if the hand of God is on them and changing them, amen, you better learn how to get under the burden for them and start praying. If you think somebody not where they ought to be, amen, go on a fast. Pray. But watch what you say about them. Where is your brother? Where is your brother? More whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I might slip up and say, hey, he ain't saved. Amen. And realize I made a mistake and repent. But if I keep unsaving God's people and they keep on living safe, I am blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Don't expect a good end. God bless you. Let's stand. Thank you.